Now today, I want to talk to you about the place of meeting. The place of meeting. This portion of scripture is in Exodus chapter 33. Describes what happened when Israel first left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea and came out into the wilderness area. And this is recording some of the first things that happened as Israel followed the Lord. Now listen to what it says here. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses was went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. So apparently, when they first were going out, Moses had a tent of meeting, it was called. And so when the whole company would pitch their tent in the camp, Moses would pitch this tent just outside the camp. It was called the tent of meeting. And Moses would go out there periodically, and as he entered into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and rest over the tent, and the scripture says that Moses would speak to the Lord in the tent of meeting. And that's your first point. Moses talked to God in the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting. Now, we're not sure exactly what this is all about. Not a lot is spoken. Eventually, this tent of meeting became the tabernacle, but it wasn't constructed at this point in time. But it was just an ordinary tent that was set out. It was called the tent of meeting. And the scripture tells us here that if people wanted to make a request of the Lord, they would go to the tent of meeting and they'd make the request. But there was something special when Moses went, because it said everyone sort of talked to the Lord, but only Moses God would speak to face to face. And his Shekinah glory would come down in this cloud and cover the tent. And everybody watching, it said they were aware that Moses was in the tent talking to the Lord. They would all bow down at the entrance of their tents and anticipate what God was going to say to them as a group, because God was speaking to Moses. And then after that time, Moses would leave and the cloud would ascend, and Moses, it said, would go back to the camp. But it says this interesting thing at the end, that Joshua, the son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. Now, let me just talk about this a little bit. When I thought, well, what's a tent? Well, I think we all know what a tent is, but it's interesting. The dictionary gives a precise meaning of the word tent. And it's this: a portable shelter supported by a framework of poles and secured by ropes pegged to the ground. So we all know what this tent is. It's a place. It has poles. It's a framework, and those things are secured to the ground by pegs. It was a temporary place. It would move. As the children of Israel moved, they would move the tent with them, but it was the place where God spoke to Moses. Meeting, the tent of meeting. What's a meeting? Again, it's a place where you come together, where you experience one another's presence, where there's communication, communion that takes place is in a meeting. So this was a tent of meeting in the Old Testament. Now, theologically, we know that the tent of meeting today is really Jesus. And we celebrated that this morning, saying a time of communion. Why can we come and commune with God? Because Jesus, who was the Word of God, it says in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Dwelt is this word tabernacle or tented. It's like God came and tented among us in the body of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, accomplished all the things we said earlier and brought a place of meeting where we can come now and we can say the beautiful name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. We meet in the name of Jesus. We gather together in the name of Jesus. All of this is the basis of the theological basis of the tent of meeting. It was a place where God met. But interesting, at the end here it says this little phrase that Joshua the son of Nun would remain behind in the tent of meeting. And that's our next point. Joshua lingered in the tent of meeting. Joshua was just a young man. This is right at the beginning. And he was an assistant to Moses. Moses would send him for things and he would take care of things. He would go and watch Moses go into this tent. He saw the presence of the Lord come down over the tent. He would watch. He would, as it were, observe Moses and Moses' communion with God. And then when Moses would finish, the cloud would ascend. Moses went out, went back to the camp. But there was something in Joshua. He didn't want to go back to the camp. He wanted to just linger. He just wants to stay in the tent of meeting. I have to believe there was something in his heart. There was some kind of hunger in his heart that he saw this is where Moses met with God. And if this is the place, I just want to stay here. It was almost like the afterglow. It doesn't say that God spoke to Joshua there or anything special happened. It was just a hunger. I just want to be in the place where Moses talked to God. A place of meeting. I wonder if we ever have that hunger to just be in the place where God talks to people. And as a result, you lay aside some other things. He could have gone back into the camp. I'm sure there was a lot of other young men there. They were doing young men things, whatever they were in those days. And he could be involved in that. But no, he just stayed. He just lingered. I just want to stay at the tent of meeting. Desire in Joshua's heart just to be in the presence of the Lord. I got a feeling that when Moses wanted to have Joshua do something, he would say to people, well, where's Joshua? Well, he's down at the tent of meeting. And so I think Moses just sort of come to realize if he needed Joshua, hey, we'll find him at the tent of meeting. Because that's where he lingered. That's where he stayed. That's where he wanted to be. I just want to be in that place where God makes himself known. It produced a hunger within him, a desire. His lingering positioned him for his destiny, for his leadership. Because it says later on in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7, I won't turn to all these verses, but just to know, 40 years later, when Moses is at the end of his life and he's looking for a successor, someone that's going to take his place, it says in that verse that Moses says to Joshua, you are going to lead this people. I am going on, but you are going to lead this people. So be strong and be courageous. It's good to be known for someone that just wants to linger in the place where God meets his people, that has a hunger after God. And I think Moses, when he was looking around, who's going to lead? Moses himself. He puts it upon Joshua. But not just that. The very next, when you move into Joshua chapter 1, God speaks to Joshua. And we can turn there in Joshua chapter 1 and just see what God says to Joshua. Moses, it says here, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So it's like this transfer, not just Moses picking out a successor, but God himself picks out the successor of Moses, and he calls on Joshua. I just want you to know this. When God is looking for people to use, he looks for people at the tent of meeting. Lots of people in Israel could have taken up the responsibility. Lots of people may have aspired to it. We know that there was sort of that kind of conflict, as it were, in the camp, people aspiring. But when God's looking, he looks to see who's at the tent of meeting. Moses looked to see who was at the tent of meeting. God looks at the tent of meeting. Joshua's destiny, his leadership, hinged and resulted as a result of his lingering at the tent of meeting. I don't know, but that speaks to me. That desire that Joshua had. He wasn't at that time saying, I want to lead, I want to do this, I want to do that. No, he just had a hunger. I don't know what it was, just the aura of the place. I don't know what it was, but it was just a desire to be there. God comes down. God meets us here. I want to just be here. I don't know when God may come, but I want to be here when it happens. The tent of meeting. Which takes us to our next point. Today, we need to pitch our tent of meeting. Now, we've already mentioned that Jesus is our tent of meeting. He's our tabernacle. But saying all that and recognizing, obviously, that's true. But what in a practical sense? Where is the place where you meet with God? As a Christian, as a believer, as someone that's human, someone that has flesh, we're meeting with a spiritual God. But where do we meet? Where's the place where we position ourselves to hear from God? Now today, as we say, it's not a geographical position. It's not that God has certain locations and you go to that location and that building. Because Paul tells to the people in Acts 17 at Athens, he tells them, he said, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. So if you're just looking, because there was all kinds of temples there in the Parthenon and all the Acropolis, they saw all these temples, and he said, God's not dwelling here. He said, God is a spirit. He's all around us. And he said, actually, if you will seek him, you'll find him. And he said, he's not that far away, he said. He said, it's like the air. You could reach out and you could actually just touch him by reaching out for him. So we know that God is not limited to a place, that it's broader than that. But again, it's interesting that we as people of God have places. This building is a place we come. Not that there's anything special about this building. Not that you have to come to this building to hear from God. But it is a place designated and dedicated to the Lord that we come here and we're going to worship and we're going to pray and we're going to share and all the things that come out of being together. Because we're human individuals, we need something tangible to help us. You need to establish a place of meeting. And in your own personal life, you need to establish it. A place where you go to meet with God. A place where you have your quiet time. You have your devotions. That secret place that the scripture says. And that Jesus said, when you pray, go to that and shut the door. There, as we actually meet with the Lord, you need to erect a tent of meeting, a place for you to meet with God. And when you do so, it's sort of following this aspect of a tent. It's portable. It's not, has to be the same place. And it's not the thing itself. It's just a place where you go to experience the presence of God. And so the first thing is you need a place. Where's your place where you seek God, where you hear God? Could be a room in your house. Could be a chair. In my place, I have a chair. And my Bible's there, and some papers there, and a pen there. If I'm going to sort of wait on the Lord, I go and I sit in that chair. Is there anything special about that chair? No, it's just the place I go. And it brings a presence. It's funny, when you have a place where you go, it's like, and God's met you there, there's an aura around that place. It almost brings your heart closer to God when you sit there. Not that the place is anything important. It's just that's a place where I reached out. God, by his Spirit, spoke to me and talked to me, where I felt his presence, where I felt a comfort. And it's a place of meeting. You need to have a place. And there's some poles. There's a framework around that place. Poles. A framework. There's so many different, and it's not any one, tents are different, but what do you do when you go to that place? Maybe the first thing you do is just sort of quiet yourself and you meditate. Maybe part of the framework or structure of your time with the Lord is putting on some music and some worship music, and you just let that music play and bring the presence of God. Maybe you sing along with it. It may be that you read some scripture, and as you read the scripture, you start to meditate on it. Or it might be that you have the journal, and when God speaks to you, you just jot things down that he's talking to you. See, that's sort of like the poles, the framework around a place of meeting. You sort of have something that you do. It's not always the same thing, but you have a general structure of when you come to that place of meeting. And there's ropes that tie those poles and pegs that go down in the ground to secure it. And we need that for your place of meeting. Because I tell you, there's a lot of things that will blow into your life, lots of responsibilities, things you got to do that will sort of blow that tent of meeting away. And yeah, I meant to, but you know what? I can't do that because I don't have time. And there's so many things that will pressure in upon your life. And you need to have some pegs that go down in the earth. Now, they are pegs, natural pegs. And they go into the earth because we're earthly people. And we need something that sort of secures us and brings us to a discipline. And so those pegs sort of can be a time. There's a time I come here, and it's a peg in the ground that you're just not going to let your life just sort of float around, and I'll seek God when I can. But you've got a peg down in the ground, something in time and space, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go there at this time. And we have a bit of a structure around. Now, are those things the presence of God? No, that's not the presence of God. That's just the tent. I mean, it's got to be that cloud coming down, God coming down and meeting with us. So don't get in your mind, if I do this and I do that and I'm faithful in prayer and I read the Bible all the time, then I'm earning the right to hear from God. No, that's not where it's at. But we still need disciplines. And the disciplines help us and strengthen us and just sort of secures our place in time-space where I meet with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I tell you, you need to have that. If you don't have it, you're missing out. If it's just sort of I wander around, I speak, hope that God will speak to me sometime. And he does. I don't mean God doesn't. But do you have a place of meeting? A place where you meet with the Lord? A place where when you sit down, all the other times he's met you, it comes and it comforts you. And you realize God is with you. It may not be a place. It might be, if you're able to. Some people just like to go out. And when I go for a walk, I talk to God. Or I like that place just to sit on that bench. I just sense the presence of the Lord when I go there. See, this is portable. This is not everybody's the same. But everyone, listen, every one of you need to have a tent of meeting that draws you there. Because I want to meet with God. I'm doing this not to put in my time or to discipline myself. No, I'm doing this because I want God to speak to me. I want to hear his voice. I've seen other people, and so I want to do the same. I remember as a young person, I'd pray different times. Lord, I want to hear you like Joseph heard you. Lord, I want to be faithful to you as a young man like Joseph was faithful to you. And I'd say, different times, I'd say, Lord, I want to be like Daniel. What was I doing? It was almost like Joshua and Moses. You're finding people that you know they know God, and I want to know them like they know the Lord. And I had one of the most influential people in my life was Frank Beaudry, who was my pastor when I was a teenager. I remember different times I'd pray, it seems strange, I'd say, Lord, I want to know you like brother, we always call him brother in those days. I want to know you like Brother Beaudry knows you. That was what was in the heart of Joshua. And it causes you to be able to just seek the Lord and desire the Lord and long for the Lord. We need to have a hunger for God. So we need to have this place, and we also need to have the fabric. Where do you enter in? Through these disciplines, the poles, the pegs, you enter in, but there's a fabric. I mean, the pegs and the poles are just the skeleton. What's the fabric around this place? Where am I actually entering in where the presence of the Lord is? And this is how I would really share. It's hunger. It's just hunger. The thing that caused Joshua to remain there. Nothing special about the tent. But it was a tent of meeting. And so when we come to a place where I just want to meet with God, I want to know God, I want to know him for myself, I want to experience God, the desire and hunger in your heart, that's what draws you. Why, I remember, and I've shared this before, when I was a teenager on the farm, and I remember this particular time on the tractor. And the thought crossed my mind. If it's possible to know God, I would be a fool not to put everything into that. If it's possible to know the God that created heaven and earth and he would make himself real to me, I'd be a fool if I didn't put everything into that. Like that's a vivid time in my mind and my heart that triggered a hunger for God. The sense of I can know him. I still remember it because I remember taking the lever on the tractor and pulling it down and the blade going back behind onto the ground. And I remember as I stepped off the seat onto the blade onto the ground and that sense, man, I need to seek God. I can know God. That's the place you enter into. And the other thing, sort of a framework, but the fabric of where you enter is the desire to know God, that he can speak to you, he can talk to me, he's real, he's all powerful, but he's made himself available. He's no respecter of persons. It's not like this person I will reveal myself to and this person I won't. No, God has made himself available to us all. The only thing is our hunger. Our hunger. Our desire for God. He wants our heart. He wants your heart in the tent of meeting. Your heart is the center of your being, your affection. Your heart needs to enter into the presence of God. And he says in the scripture, you've heard me say it different times, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Desire me, long for me with all your heart. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. When you enter into that place of meeting with a hunger in your heart, there's not a chance in the world he won't reveal himself to you. Because that's what he's longing us for. Now, let's go on to the next point here. We enter the tent of meeting, and I've already said it basically, by asking, seeking, and knocking. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Here's the verse in Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it'll be open to you. For everyone, not some, everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God's response and promises is that if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. I mean, that's a tremendous open door, isn't it? I mean, that's an open invitation to ask and seek him and press into him. Our theme this year is to press into God. If you do it with all your heart, you will find him. You will experience him. God will make himself real to you. There's not a chance in the world he won't, because you are pressing into the Lord. So let's take this one by one. If you ask, you will receive. If you ask, you will receive. What do we ask the Lord for? We ask the Lord's blessing on our food. I hope you do that. It's not a little, but do it sincerely. Just ask the Lord's blessing on your food. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless it to our bodies. May it strengthen us. Just a time, every time you eat, just to ask. You see, if you ask, you're going to receive. When you go and say, Lord, give us a safe trip today as I go out. You ask, you'll receive. Lord, use me today to bless somebody. Ask, and you'll receive. But you got to enter into that place of meeting, and you're there with not just saying the words, folks. This is the thing. It's not saying the words. It's not the outward things we do. It's the condition of your heart that's hungry for God. You really desire this. You want this. You're asking God for things. And if you ask, he will respond. But it's not just natural bread. It's spiritual bread. Listen to what it says in Psalm verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And look at this phrase. And whatever he does shall prosper. This is the person that hungers after God. He's not standing in the way of sinners. He's not out with the world. He's not filling his mind with all the philosophies of the world. He's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the path of sinners. He's not sitting back with his arms folding, sort of scorning everything that's happening. No, he's hungry. He's hungry. He desires. And he realizes, you know, this is the word of God. This is his word. It's not just a book. This is God's word. I wonder what it says in his word about this. I wonder what it says in his word about that. And so you hunger, you're in God's word, not because I have to, but you hunger for it, you desire it. You say, this is his word that was given, that's sure and steadfast, but will never let me down. And if I meditate in his word day and night, I'm going to prosper. My leaf won't wither. wither, and whatever I do will prosper if I'm in God's word. And that's a tremendous promise. Don't let the Bible sit day after day on the shelf and never pick it up. Let it be in your place of meeting. Go to that place of meeting and pick up the word of God and read it. You know, I shared with you a while ago that I started this practice of the first thing I do in the morning is to read God's word. And the last thing you do at night to read God's word. You know, it's a simple thing. I've been in the word of God so much every day. But something, I just notice there's a difference when I start with the word of God rather than getting up and turning on the news to see what the news is that week or that morning. Doesn't mean I don't listen to the news, but I tell you this, I don't listen to it first thing anymore. First thing I do, I want to read the scripture. And I've just started now reading a chapter of Proverbs every day along with all the other reading I do, but I just find that it's intriguing just to read the chapter of Proverbs that day. And what maybe there's just a phrase or two that stands out and you got your journal and you just write it down. You know, I never saw that before. That just really spoke to me. You just write that down. You're in the place of meeting. God's talking to you. It'll set your day differently when you start with the Word of God rather than starting with all the other things I got to rush to do. But you start in that place of meeting and you're just asking the Lord to feed you. And here's the next one. And if you seek, you will find. It's sort of a progression. You're asking the Lord for things. He'll hear you. But sometimes it just doesn't come right away. Or maybe you have a sense, I've lost something here. And I need to find it. I need to find my first love. I need to find God's will for my life. I need to find God's will for this particular thing that I'm involved in right now and this set of circumstances. So you're seeking. So you've asked, but now you seek a little deeper. It's a pursuit. Seeking is not just asking, you're pursuing it. It's like you might ask the Lord, Lord, I need you to meet all my financial needs. I've just overwhelmed here financially. I need you to meet my needs. That's a good ask. But you know, you need to seek and say, I wonder what God's word says about finances. You start seeking God's word about finances in the Bible, you'll be surprised what you'll learn. You'll be surprised what you find. Seek, and you shall find. Sometimes you find things that you didn't expect, because a lot of times God's word goes against our natural inclination. And suddenly you seek God's word, and you begin to say, it says give, and it shall be given unto you. Oh, same measure I give, it comes back to me. Oh, am I giving God the first fruits of my finances? Oh. Are you afraid what you'll find? A heart that's seeking after God, they know God's word is life. And it's true. And if I meditate and I align myself with God's word, I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful and try to follow the philosophy of the world. No, I want what God, I'm in the place of meet. I want to meet with God. I want God to speak to my heart. And if you seek him with that desire, you'll find him. Listen to what it says under this in Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. I mean, everybody's seeking temporal things. You know, how am I going to pay my bills? And where am I going to live? And what should I wear? And where am I going to work? And there's lots of things around the temporal. And the scripture says, hey, if you seek those things, hey, that you might find it, but you won't find happiness. You won't find contentment. You might find riches if you're just seeking riches, but the Bible says you'll have sorrow with it. We know that, you know, celebrities that get fame and they get fortune and they're not happy. I mean, their marriages are breaking. With all the troubles they're having, that's not the answer. That's the world out there. They're seeking things, but no, we're seeking God. We're seeking his word. Now let's go on. It says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. The Bible says if you have a heart, and this is Proverbs 2. You see, it's fresh in my mind because this is the fifth. 2 or 3 days ago, it talks about if you seek wisdom, with wisdom comes honor and wealth and every good thing. How's it coming? Through wisdom. So seek wisdom. Then all these other things will be added to you. If you seek these things, you're just seeking like someone that's seeking it out there in the world. But you're in the house and the place of meeting, the tent of meeting. You're asking God and you're seeking him. He knows you need all these things. But what are you seeking? Lord, what's your kingdom? What are you about in the earth? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? What's your heart towards this situation? Lord, how can I align myself, be used of you? You're seeking God. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you if you seek him first. You're hungering after God. Here's the last one. If you knock, the door will be opened. Now, it's sort of a progression here. You ask, and then you seek. But then sometimes you're seeking, and you get to some kind of impasse. You hit a wall. You get this barrier, and you can't seem to get past this barrier. I'm seeking after God, but boy, this thing is right in front of me. It could be a trial. It could be a difficulty. It could be a relationship problem, and it just seems to be holding you back. You can't continue, and you're believing that God, I can't change this situation, God, but you're the only one that can. And so what do? When you get to the wall, at first it just looks like a wall, but if you look closer, there's a door in the wall. Sometimes it's camouflaged. But every wall you come against, there's a door. Now listen to what it says that door is in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm reading it in the New Life Version. I will give her great fields. He's talking about Israel here. I will give her great fields there and make the valley of Achor, and in the valley of Achor, a door of hope. Achor means trouble. So when you hit this wall, and you got trouble in your life and you can't seem to get past the trouble, the affliction, the problem, it's just right in front of you and you can't get by it. It says here that the Lord will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. You hope God in that situation. There's a door. Hey, I'm against this, but you know what? There's a door here. What's the door? Hope. Now the Bible says that hope is really only hope when it's hopeless. When you can't see your way through. If you can see light at the end of the tunnel, you really don't need hope. It's when you don't have hope, the Bible, you can read all this in Romans. When you don't have hope, then you hope in God. You say, hey, I can't hope in man, I can't hope in my situation, I can't hope in others, but I hope in God. I'm hoping in God. The door is hoping in God. And so what do you do when you come to the door? You knock. You just take your stance in front of the door. The wall's still there. The door is shut, but you're knocking. Every day you're just saying, God, I'm believing you. My hope is in you. My trust is in you. You're my only defense. Encourage me, Lord, today on the Lord. And you just keep knocking. You just keep knocking on that door of hope in that wall that's in front of you. And you know what the Bible says will happen? The door will be open for you. God opens the door and you walk through. And what's on the other side? Vineyards, grapes. And he says it'll actually take you back to when you first became a Christian. With Israel, this old portion of scripture, it says, you'll go back when I first led you out of Egypt. When God first led you out of Egypt, when you first accepted him and you accepted the provision of his salvation, and you were water baptized, you came through the Red Sea, and you go back to that moment of first love and first enthusiasm in the Lord. The Lord says, you know, that's what happens when you keep knocking on the door, you're going to have a breakthrough. And it's going to break through into fruitfulness. And I tell you, I don't know why those walls come. I don't know why the doors are shut sometimes in front of us. But I do know the Bible says if you stand there and you keep knocking, it will be open. Usually after the fact, we look back and we go, oh, I see. That's how where God worked in my life. That's where he transformed me. That's where he changed my mind. That's where he produced his character in me. When I was standing at the door knocking and I was uncertain, that's where God made himself real to me. Yes, we don't know. But we just know that this ask, seek. When there's a wall, there's a door there, just keep knocking on the door and it'll be open to you and you'll come through on the other side. Wow. I hope you have a desire to go to the tent of meeting, that you yourself will erect this place. But it's not the place that's unimportant. The thing is, the place where you hunger after God, the place where you wait in prayer, the place where you seek him, where you're asking, where you're knocking. And if you do, God will meet you there. You'll have the breakthrough that will come. I don't have time this morning to go. I had different illustrations here, but let me just share one with you in my own life. That I thought of it as soon as I read that part about Joshua waiting at the tent of meeting. I remember when I was in my, actually it was my second year of Bible, of university. And there was a youth convention that was held in Belleville. And all the churches and all the young people from across Ontario were coming to Belleville. I had been there different times. And so I went to this weekend. It was Victoria Day weekend. And we went there. And why did we go? I think primarily just to meet other young ladies that were, you'd go and at the end of the sessions, you'd go to the restaurants and we'd hang out and we would talk and you get to know people from other churches. And that's part of the motivation of going, is any youth, when they go to things, it's to hang out with others and get to know people. And I was sort of there in that way, but I was sitting there and the speaker was speaking, talking about giving your heart to God. All these things of the past is swelling up from within me. First of all, why was I there? That was a place of meeting. That was a place where young people were going to seek God that weekend. I had never have gone, I may never have experienced it. But I was there in that place of meeting, hearing the speaker speak. And he was talking about giving your heart to the Lord, gave an invitation. Lots of young people came up around the altar. We were all praying at the altar, giving ourselves, our lives to the Lord. And I just remember just feeling a sense over me, a longing, a desire to serve God. And I was just pouring my heart up to God, giving him my life and my future and whatever he wanted me to do and to be. I just give it all to you, Lord. And this went on for some time, longer than I thought. Because finally, when I sort of finished praying, I sort of looked up and the altars were clear. And I looked back out of the auditorium and all my friends were gone. They'd gone. I didn't know where they had gone, but it didn't matter. There was something in my heart just to linger in that place and just seek God. You know, as they say, the rest is history. I mean, it was right at that next year I didn't go back to Bible or to keep saying Bible school because that's where I went. I didn't go back to university. I went to Bible college. And I was only going to go for a year, but that year led to 3 years and on and on. But it was all, I sort of think back, man, that dedication happened to that school auditorium in Belleville, Ontario, where I sort of lingered in the presence of the Lord. And God knew where to call people. He calls people in the tent of meeting. I hope that you have that same desire in your own way, in your own setting. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. This is for everybody today. Not just for young people. It is for young people, but it's for everybody. There's no one too old. There's no one that's not gifted enough. Like we think God calls the gifted. No, he calls people in the tent of meeting. calls people that have a heart after him, that hungers for him. That's where he finds his workers. That's where he calls people. God's got a plan for every one of you here. He's got something for you. Don't rule yourself out. Just say, God, I want it. Let your heart rise up towards God. Anybody can learn skills and abilities, and you can get experience in a lot of things. And you can learn a lot of things, but nobody can give you a heart for God. I mean, that just comes from God. Something in your heart. I just long for God. I want God more than anything else. You know what? You'll go from the place of meeting, and you'll go, and I look at my own life, you know, everything wasn't perfect after that, and not always did I linger. But I tell you, that day I did. And God knew, and he called, and he works in our heart. And I want you not to miss your future, the rest of your life. I'm saying to you, it's going to start in the tent of meeting, that place where you meet with God and you hunger for God. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for all of us here today. We thank you that you have made this promise that you will meet us in this place. And I ask, Lord, that every person here would find their own place of meeting, their own tent, their own place where they seek you. Increase the hunger in our heart, O God. May we desire you with all of our heart and seek you with all of our heart. Lord, use us for your kingdom, for your purposes, for your glory. Lord, it's not for our benefit. It's for your benefit. Lord, we give you everything. We just pour out our hearts to you, Lord. And I pray that every young person, every middle-aged person, every older person here, Lord, would just give their hearts to you in a special way. Meet us, Lord. I thank you for the promise, Lord, that you will meet us. So draw us all closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let it be, Lord.